music like that, and you had us playing like that in the church. I said, not doing worship. That was a teen thing. It was a younger kind of music for the younger people. Not during worship where you have everybody doing that. I'm thinking about a couple of old sisters, Sister Stanley, Sister Johnson, Sister Evans, Sister Belvin. Now, those four sisters that are all now dead, if I had had Let's Do the Jazz Gig Hip Hop in the church, they would have looked at me like saying, what in the world has happened to this young man bringing that kind of mess in the church? You don't bring that foolishness in there. Then it says, watch them when they teach and cause hindrances contrary to the teaching which you've learned and turn away from them. Meaning that if you've learned true Christian doctrine, true Christian discipline, true Christian integrity, true Christian character, then you turn away. You turn away from these pastors, from these music directors, from these homosexuals. You turn away from them. Now, some of you that think that I hate these people, I don't hate them, but the Bible commands you to turn away from it. We have to obey the Bible if we're Christians. I want to make this perfectly clear. Don't ask me, why don't I pray for them to change? The Bible doesn't tell me to pray for them. The Bible tells me to pray for you, that you may not get caught up in the snare of the devil. But it doesn't tell me to pray for them. It tells me to turn away from them. Now look at verse 18. It says, for such men, these pimps, these liars, these false teachers, these people that got you guessing and hemming and hawing, these people are slaves, not slaves of the Lord Christ, but of their own appetite. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I told you on my website today, stop giving them money. Stop building their churches. Why are you making them richer and richer and richer? And that goes for anybody. That goes for MacArthur. That goes for Sproul, because it was in a Bible study last night. You heard a young man bring up R.C. Sproul.
Right.
People just name dropping. These people are getting rich off of other. You don't know anything about these people. You don't know anything about these people. And then he says, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. They can't deceive me. They can't deceive me. I was talking with someone yesterday, called me from the old church that I used to pastor. And because they're now I understand they're attempting to change the bylaws of the church, the way we had spent money with an attorney to have the bylaws of the church set up to protect the money in the church. And so, but now they're going to try to change the bylaws. And an ex-officer of the church contacted me and said, did you know that they're changing the bylaws? And by law, you can take them to court, John. I said, I don't even want to deal with those people. Let them change the bylaws to get that money. Pastor Marshall, because that's his name, he and Deacon Blake can take that money and go to Europe with it 50 times. I don't even care what they do. Because the Bible, this Bible study are for people like that.
Yes.
I mean, that money was collected. You know what should happen to all the money that went into that ministry? It should all be dedicated to the starving Christians in Uganda somewhere. They had to take almost that $800,000, $900,000, and if they haven't spent it all up, and give all that money to some starving Christian somewhere, and so that they can eat for a few days. But no, they're trying to change the bylaws so that they can conscript and get that money and do what they want to do. Just wickedness. And yet they think they're going to heaven. These people are headed for hell. And the person that asked me, talked to me, asked me, would I go back and take over the pastor there? I said, I wouldn't waste my time. I said, I'd rather stay in the Lucy Coleman studio and minister to people all over the world and not get a penny from them and continue to teach at that college until I drop dead at the lectern over there and hopefully gain the insight into some of those babies' minds. And so that they would know that God is alive. That's all I'm thinking about doing. But all this other stuff is ridiculous. Friends, you have to know that. Now, let's start breaking down this verse. Let's go back to our text. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1a. That's where we're going. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1A. I guess you can call that my introduction. He says, amongst the people, because it says, but the false prophets are also among the people. Now, the people is used in the New Testament here of Israel. Okay? It's talking about Israel. Peter is referring to that because Peter was a Jew. Now, you have to understand why he was speaking about the people like that. Now, some of you may say, no, he was talking about the Christians. No, because he says in the second stanza of that verse, just as there will also be false teachers amongst you. So amongst the people and amongst you are two different groups. You have to understand, this is what Peter is saying. He's talking about two different groups. And we go to Acts chapter 26, verses, and I'm going to let Mark read that. Acts chapter 26, verses 7 and verses 23. If I'm going to back up my premise there, that's what I'm trying to do. So, Mark, if you have that, Acts chapter 26, verse 17 and verse 23.
Rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
Yeah. See, this is Jesus talking to the Apostle Paul, saying that he's calling him, okay, from the Jewish people. This is the Jewish people when he says the false prophets moved in amongst the people. False prophets have always moved in amongst God's people. Here Jesus is telling Paul, I've sent you to rescue the people from the false teachers. So you have to understand that. Now, Peter's point, though, is that Satan has always endeavored to infiltrate groups of believers with the deceptions of false teachers. He's always done that. I don't, you know, some of you that are in home Bible studies, and Mark, why don't you turn to John 8:44? That'll be the next verse. Some of you that are in home Bible studies, you can tell if a teacher is false because when you study under that false teacher, if he makes an error, he's going to, you can tell if he's true or false, because if a real teacher makes an error, he will be corrected by you. But a false teacher will have you put out if you try to correct him. Let's see what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44.
You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
See, that's what the devil is all about. And the devil has always spoken a lie. So when he's working in these false teachers, and he's working in these false teachers, let's go back to our main point. Peter's point is that Satan has always endeavored to infiltrate groups of believers, whether they're Jewish believers or whether they're Christian believers. Okay, whether they're Orthodox or Reformed, whether they're charismatic, whether they're traditional Southern Baptist, Satan is going to work in that group of individuals and infiltrate that group to destroy that group from within. That is what Satan has to do. That is why whenever you see this kind of corruption coming into the church and you're a church leader or you're a Bible study, you know, I know a guy that goes to a church and he went to Benjamin Reed's church. It was a huge church down on Crenshaw Boulevard here. And the brother's name was Brown. And he was in charge of the youth over there. He would listen to me on the radio, and he would call, and he would tell me about some things that was going on in that church that was just wrong, altogether wrong. And I would say to Brown, man, you need to get out of there. Just get out. I told him, start your own Bible study. Don't try to hang around there. Oh, yeah, but I believe that God has called me here. But the leadership is corrupt. If the leadership is corrupt, then everything under it is going to be corrupt. You have to understand that. You can't, you know, I think about Tim Butler of Stand Up Ministry. I do Bible studies for that group from time to time. Tim is in a corrupt Baptist church and he won't leave it. And he knows that the pastor's corrupt. The deacon board is corrupt. He's still there. Man, you know what you got to do? You got to walk away from all the money that you've given. Walk away from all the people. Are you going to constantly find yourself, oh, you should have heard what my pastor said. My pastor said this and he's wrong. And he's going to be wrong because he's of the devil. And he's going to remain of the devil. And he's going to remain to be a buffet. Even since the time of Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan has been in the deceit business. See, that is his job. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Read that, Mark.
But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ.
Wow. See that? See, Paul just lays it on the line. See, and then look what he says in verse 4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. See, that's how you can know. Some of you people have not even heard from the real Jesus. You've never heard from the real Jesus. You've been under false teachers your whole life. The reason that I can teach like this and I can say this without any chagrin on my face is I've never sat under a false teacher. I didn't come out of a cult. Mark Ramsey can tell you most of the guys that came into the church that I pastored came out of false teachers. They came out of craziness.
They heard the radio show.
They heard me on the radio.
And
heard,
something made them come sit in the room and listen for a while.
And a lot of them brought that craziness with them because they were not able to live up to the standard of the Word of God.
They couldn't break themselves from what they were in.
There you go.
They wouldn't let go of it.
There you go. There you go.
They loved some of it too much, and they couldn't let go of it.
And I would go to certain meetings with them, one named Darrell, and he would sit under there and literally tweak when they would try to put a voodoo spell on him when I was in the voodoo hellhole church itself at one of their false apostle convocations.
Because he didn't get it out of himself. It kept calling him.
He would not let Christ take it, man.
Right.
These people, man, and that's why some of you are spinning out there now. You won't let Christ have you.
You still belong to another.
You want what they have. You're looking at what they have and you want it. They've beguiled you. And that is what beguilement does to you. You want what they have. It's like people that have sexual addictions. They want that. Oh, they never tell you that. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about me. I never tell you what I want, but that's what I really want. And I know I want it. And then after a while, you convince yourself, well, that's who I am anyhow. And then eventually you find yourself going right back to it. See what I'm talking about? That is the way that works. That's what he did to Eve. That's what he's going to do to you if he can. Now look at something else. Let's go back to our text. We're going back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, but false prophets also arose amongst the people. We said that just as there will also be false teachers amongst you. Now, and then look what it says right there, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Now, let me deal with this amongst you. They will be in any kind of Christian ministry that they can get in. I have pastored. I'm thinking about one Milford Talbot.
Yes.
I thought that boy was a straight shooter.
Right.
Until he took the singles to Palm Desert. Oh. And start talking with the women until one of the women stand up in the church and called him a lie. And everybody in the world knew what he did. Oh, I mean, it was disgusting.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was false. He wanted to get with me and do ministry. And I believe Pastor John. And they all tell me, I believe in what you believe in. Same thing with Charlton Davis. God only knows where that man is. You know, when he coup d'etat living by the word and took that.
He's still selling insurance. He was in one of my stations and I saw him.
Oh, Lord. Selling insurance.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he grabbed me and tried to hug me as if we were old buddies.
Oh, my goodness. No, he didn't.
I didn't want to make a scene in front of the salesperson. So I...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, man, because if you're false back then, you're false now. You never called me and repented of that. You never repented of all that kind of stuff that you've done. I had to tell a brother that wanted me to go back to my old church, and I told him, I said, let me tell you something so that you can find peace in your heart. I said, man, leave that garbage alone. He says, but wouldn't you like to fulfill, John, what God called you to do? I said, what do you think I'm doing now? And I'm doing it on a scale that's far more important than pastoring a church of rebels that never believed in the first place. I said, God allowed that to take place, and so that the people that are being ministered to now will be blessed. See what I mean?
Yes.
God allowed that to take place, and so that I would start teaching at the college and start reaching his children that would have never been reached on that scale
right.
if I had remained in that church. See, God knows what he wants to do, and it's not about what we want to do. And so I told this brother, I said, you need to leave that alone. Let the thieves take the money and take the money bags and do whatever they're going to do, because it's not going to satisfy them. It never does. Now, let's look at this, because secretly bringing in destructive heresies. We want to look at the ultimate objective of evil here. The false teacher parades themselves as Christian pastors. That's what they do. They parade themselves as the Christian teacher, as the so-called evangelist. I've already read to you Jude 4. They creep in unawares.
Certain persons have crept in unnoticed.
Unnoticed.
Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what they do. The Bible clearly points out why these people do this. I'm giving this Bible study to you, and so that you guys won't think it's strange. Don't be thinking, my God, what's happened to the church? What do you mean? What happened to the church? Most of you men allowed them to creep in because you feminized. You don't know how to say you need to get the Hades out of here. Most of you men should have gotten up, took your wife by the hand, walked out of the Bible study. Anytime you're in a Bible study and you hear a false teacher give a lie, you don't try to debate with him or correct him. Get your wife by the hand, get your children, get up and get out of there. When he asks, where are you going? I'll never forget when the clown that lived by the word did a coup d'etat of the ministry at the hotel and called me over there, and they said, we're setting you down. And I said, why? They said, well, you have too much power over the people to influence them, and we don't know where that's coming from. I said, it comes from God. Well, you have too much power, and we don't like that, so we're setting you down. What do you have to say? I just got my briefcase and turned and went to the door, and one of them said, you can't walk out on us. And I turned and looked at him and said, what? And I never turned back to that ministry, not for a penny, a dime, a nothing. That's what you do. You get out, and the minute somebody, listen, if you know that God has called you to be a Bible teacher and you're teaching God's truth, and some pimp behind fake phony won't he be preacher? Because, see, that's what it is. The false teacher wants the power. It's in the book of Acts when Simon the magician came up to Paul and said, let me buy this Holy Ghost that you have. And Paul had to correct him and said, man, you can't buy this. And that's exactly what the clown said to me, man. We don't know where this power comes. They never read Acts. See what I'm talking about? They don't believe God's word. The ultimate objective of these false teachers and evangelists are to spread heresies. Those are self-designed religious lies which lead to divisions as well as factions in the church. Now, we got two scriptures. I'm going to let Mark take the 1 Corinthians 11:19, and I'll turn to Galatians 5:20.
For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you.
Yeah, see, the factions are there because it's got to be brought to the surface.